Hello, this is Pastor Cal Hampton. I want to thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule to listen to our Second Mile podcast. It is my prayer that the Spirit of God might just enliven your spirit so that you might get a word from heaven today. And as always, you have an invite to come and worship with us down here at Second Mile Church on 804 Riverside Drive in Clarksville. May the Lord bless you. Thank you.
Father, as we worship tonight, as we study, as we learn, oh, I pray, God, that you might bless our time together. And that, Father, that truly, Father, when we leave here tonight, we will know that we've been with Jesus. Oh, I thank you for the service that you gave us this morning and the Bible study and the new members class and everything that took place here this morning. Thank you for that, Father. And I just want you to know, Lord, we're yours. Sometimes we're not very good, but bless God, we're yours. And I pray that you would minister to each one of us here tonight as we make much of Jesus. Thank you for the saints of God. We're going to be together for a long time. In Jesus' sweet name we pray. All God's children said, amen. All right, we're in Revelation chapter 15 and 16 tonight, and we've got a lot of scripture to read, and so you're going to have to listen up fast. And I won't ask you to stand. We've been up and down, but look at chapter 15. I just want to read it, and then we'll move through chapter 16. Revelation 15. Then I saw another sign in heaven, great and marvelous, seven angels having the seven last plagues, for in them the wrath of God is complete. And I saw, John says, I saw something like a sea of glass mingled with fire, and those who have the victory over the beast, over his image, and over his mark. Remember that now. And over the number of his name, standing on the sea of glass, having harps of God. What we're talking about there is victory for the saints of God. They sing the song of Moses, the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb, saying, great and marvelous are your works, Lord God Almighty. Just and true are your ways, O King of the saints. Who shall not fear you, O Lord, and glorify your name? For you alone are holy, for all nations shall come and worship before you. For your judgments have been manifested. And after these things I looked, and behold. What does behold mean in Montgomery County lingo? Look at here. The temple of the tabernacle of the testimony in heaven was opened. And out of the temple came the seven angels having the seven plagues, clothed in pure bright linen and having their chests girded with golden bands. Then one of the four living creatures gave to the seven angels seven golden bowls full of the wrath of God who lives forever and ever. The temple was filled with smoke from the glory of God and from his power, and no one was able to enter the temple till the seven plagues of the seven angels were completed. Then John said, I heard a loud voice from the temple saying to the seven angels, go and pour out the bowls of wrath of God on the earth. Father, help us tonight. Help me, Lord, to rightly divide the word of truth, and help the saints to have ears to hear. Over and over again, the book of Revelation tells us to have ears to hear. And so, Lord, speak to us. Your servants are listening again one more time today. Thank you for your word and the blessing that comes in reading the book of the Revelation of Jesus Christ. In his precious name we pray, amen. Amen. Now, tonight we're looking at the last of the seven bowl judgments. We've looked at the seven seal judgments, then we looked at the seven trumpet judgments. Tonight we're on the seven bowl judgments. Next Sunday night, it's bye-bye Babylon. You don't want to miss that. Babylon will be destroyed. And then that prepares the way for the second coming of Christ. Talk about that. And then the thousand-year reign, the thousand golden years of reigning and ruling with Christ. And then the great white throne judgment. And then this new Jerusalem, the new city of God coming down. We're going to talk about that. And God's going to create the new heavens and the new earth. And then there's some last words for the church in Revelation 22. So I've got about seven more messages from the book of Revelation, but I'm preparing some more prophetic messages out of some other books. And so I think we'll probably continue with that this fall on Sunday night. So anyways, if that's okay with y'all, say amen.
Amen.
All right. Now, tonight specifically, we're looking at the seven bowl judgments. Now, you remember, after the seven trumpet judgments, does anybody remember how much of the population is now dead? 50%. 50% after the seven seal and the seven trumpet judgments. If we were looking at that tonight, by the world's population standards, that'd be 3.5 billion people. Now, 1 or 2 billion Christians are going to be raptured. And so that figure might be quite a bit lower, but half of the population has now been killed by Antichrist or these plagues. But the end is not yet. As a matter of fact, things are going to get worse. And what we're talking about now, these last two Sunday nights, we're in the last half, the last 3.5 years of the Great Tribulation period. And these final seven judgments, these final series of bowl judgments, will lead to the fall of Antichrist and his kingdom, ushering in the return of Christ. And man, I can't wait to get to that. That's a fantastic passage of Scripture in Revelation 19. But John hears this great voice come out of the heavenly temple commanding seven angels to pour the contents of these bowls upon the earth. Now, do y'all remember what the martyrs said in Revelation chapter 6? Anybody remember that? Okay, let's go to Revelation chapter 6. Revelation chapter 6. Now y'all, if you don't turn those pages quicker than that tonight, we're going to be here till midnight. That's okay? Okay. Who's got supper cooked? All right. Revelation chapter 6, look at verses 9 and 10 and 11. When he opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of those who had been slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. And they cried with a loud voice. Listen to this, watch this, don't miss this. How long, O Lord, holy and true, until you judge and avenge our blood on those who dwell on the earth? Then a white robe was given to each of them, and it was said to them that they should rest a little while longer, until both the number of their fellow servants and their brethren who would be killed as they were was completed. And so tonight, their cry will be answered. Tonight, the cry of the martyrs under the altar will be answered. Every judgment that we're going to hear about tonight is so reminiscent of the plagues that Moses called down on Egypt. You'll remember these. Boils, water turned to blood, darkness, frogs, hail, all of those are contained in these bowls of wrath, and they're poured out on the earth like water. So y'all ready for these? All right. Let's look at the first bowl judgment. Revelation 16:2. So the first went, the first what? That's right, the first angel. The first angel went and poured out his bowl upon the earth, and a foul and loathsome sore came upon the men who had the mark of the beast and those who worshipped his image. Well, turn back a page. Look at Revelation 13 and look at verse 16. We're talking here about in the context of the Antichrist and the false prophet. Revelation 13, 16, he causes all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and slave, to receive a mark on their right hand or on their foreheads, and that no one may buy or sell except one who has the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. Here's wisdom. Let him who has understanding calculate the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man. His number is 666. And so, in these last days, in the midpoint of the tribulation period, the Antichrist will commit the abomination of desolation and move in to the temple that the Jews have been allowed to build, and the sacrificial system reinstituted, and he's going to sit in the Holy of Holies, broadcast his image all over the world. And whoever will not bow down and worship him and receive his mark will be in danger of losing their lives. Most people that don't receive the mark in this time period, in the Great Tribulation, will lose their lives. They'll be slaughtered, beheaded, killed. But there's good news. Look at chapter 14, verse 11. And by the way, let me say this about 666. The number of God is what? The divine number is what? Seven. And there's a reason there's three of them. Why do you think there's three sevens? Yes, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. So the number six is the number of what? Man. And so you got the dragon, who is anti-God, anti-Father. And then you've got the beast, who is anti-Christ. And then you've got the false prophet over there in chapter 13, who is anti-spirit. And so 666 is the number of the beast. That's triple imperfection. Okay? That's the number of the beast. That's the number of the Antichrist. And anybody who will not receive his mark won't be able to buy groceries. You won't be able to keep your job. You won't have any insurance. You'll be destitute. You won't be able to do anything. And then you'll be persecuted for your faith because you haven't bowed down and worshiped the beast. But here's the good news. Look at verse 11. And the smoke of their torment ascends forever and ever, and they have no rest day and night who worship the beast in his image. Somebody say amen. Amen. And whoever receives the mark of his name. Here's the patience of the saints. There are those who keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. Say amen. Then I heard a voice from heaven saying to me, write, blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from now on. Yes, says the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors and their works follow them. So I'll come back to that in a few minutes. But I wanted y'all to see that mark of the beast and what's happening now. And so this first angel comes, and this first bowl of wrath is being poured out on all of those who have received the mark of the beast. Are y'all with me? So what is this? What is this judgment? Well, all of those who have received his mark, either on their foreheads or their right hand, will break out. I don't know how else to say it, with cankerous, foul, horrible, incurable, pus-filled sores. Any of y'all ever had a boil? Well, this is about 10 times worse. Anybody here had shingles? Man, that's not fun. But these things are terrible. These sores, these boils. And by the time the fifth angel unleashes the fifth bowl judgment, the fifth bowl of wrath, these dear folks will still be in pain and agony from these sores. They won't go away. Constant pain will affect a person's disposition. There's probably a few of you or some people that you know who are in constant pain. What's their disposition like? Man, constant pain will grate on you and wear on you and really, really just wear you out. And so human relationships will be at their very worst during this time. Okay? Now look at the second bowl judgment. Are y'all with me? Verse 3. Then the second angel poured out his bowl on the sea, and it became blood as of a dead man, and every living creature in the sea died. Wow. That's all the oceans, all the seas become as blood. You remember in the second trumpet judgments, a third of the oceans were affected. But now the entire system of seas and oceans is polluted. Every living creature in the oceans will die. How many of y'all have ever heard about the phenomenon, the red tide? Yeah, man, that's an awful thing, but it's rare. Doesn't happen a lot, but every now and then, there are times when one-celled algae in the oceans will undergo a chemical reaction. And it turns the water red, poisons the water, and produces powerful neurotoxins. And as this red tide sweeps in on the beach, man, all these dead fish are in the wake of those waves. And so it leaves them, and it also leaves a very burning sensation in the eyes and the nose. I don't know if he's talking here about red tide, but it's something like that, because every creature in the oceans and the sea, all the fish will die. The oceans will be contaminated. Isn't that an amazing judgment? Look at the third judgment. It gets worse. Verse 4. Then the third angel poured out his bowl on the rivers and springs of water, and they became blood. And I heard the angel of the waters saying, "You are righteous, O Lord, the one who is and who was and who is to be, because you have judged these things." You remember the cry of the martyrs? How long? How long are you going to put up with this? When will our blood be avenged? Well, that's what's going on here. Verse 6, "For they have shed the blood of saints and prophets, and you've given them blood to drink, for it is their just due." And I heard another from the altar saying, "Even so, Lord God Almighty, true and righteous are your judgments." Somebody shout amen. Now, the third angel unleashes this bowl, and now all the fresh waters are contaminated. All the rivers, all the ponds, all the streams, all the lakes, all the creeks are contaminated. What an ecological disaster. The Antichrist and his followers have shed innocent blood, and now they're given blood to drink. You see this all throughout the Bible. In God's government, the punishment always fits the crime. In God's government, the punishment always fits the crime. You remember Pharaoh tried to drown all the baby boys? Who drowned in the Red Sea? Pharaoh's army. Y'all with me? You remember Mordecai? He wanted to exterminate the Jews and wanted to hang Mordecai. Haman wanted to hang Mordecai on the gallows. You remember that? Who wound up getting hung on the gallows? That's right, Haman and his family. You remember King Saul. He refused to slay the Amalekites. And so who killed King Saul? An Amalekite. Don't do the crime if you don't want to pay the time. That's what's going on here. They're getting their just due. These bowls of wrath are being poured out on the earth. Now, let's look at the fourth bowl judgment. Then the fourth, boy, y'all are drinking from a fire hydrant again tonight, aren't you? Bless your hearts. Then the fourth angel poured out his bowl on the sun, and power was given to him to scorch men with fire. And men were scorched with great heat, and they blasphemed the name of God who has power over these plagues, and they did not repent and give him glory. That's the most amazing thing out of all of this. Now, the fourth judgment falls, and I don't know how to describe it any better than this, but global warming is coming. It's not here now. And just because Al Gore said it's coming, it doesn't mean anything. But here, God says it's coming. All right? Y'all with me? So the fourth bowl judgment is related to this fourth trumpet judgment. You remember the sun became darkened and the moon became darkened back in the trumpet judgment. Well, now the heat of the sun is so hot, it scorches the earth. And remember, the water source and the water systems they're not helpful. They're not useful. So people are going to suffer from what? Yeah, thirst. Man, I mean, it's going to be a rough time. The heat will be intense. But amazingly, it won't be hot enough to make people repent. Brother Shep said something a few minutes ago. All of the earth dwellers, instead of repenting, will blaspheme God all the more. You see, you said something earlier about the love of God. If the love of God doesn't bring a person to repentance, judgment won't either. Write that down. Y'all's minds are like steel traps. You've got it, right? Okay. The fifth bowl judgment gets worse. Hey, I told you I'd never leave you bleeding. The good stuff's coming. Then the fifth angel, verse 10, poured out his bowl on the throne of the beast, and his kingdom became full of darkness. And they gnawed their tongues because of the pain. You remember? What pain? You remember those sores? Look at verse 11. They blasphemed the God of heaven because of their pains and their sores, and did not repent of their deeds. Well, like Pharaoh of old, there's nothing Antichrist can do. The fifth judgment is darkness, and it reigns at the headquarters of the beast. Men will writhe in darkness from the pain of these sores that they'll chew on their tongues, trying to relieve the pain. And once again, the judgment is given is meant to bring conviction and repentance, but it's met with further rebellion and blasphemy toward the God of heaven. Physical darkness, moral and spiritual darkness are rampant in the world during these days. Sixth bowl judgment. Verse 12, then the sixth angel poured out his bowl on the great river Euphrates. Now this is very significant. Don't miss this. And its water was dried up. Why do you think the water dried up? You remember the sun scorching the earth? So the river Euphrates dries up, so that the way of the kings from the east might be prepared. And I saw three unclean spirits like frogs coming out of the mouth of the dragon, out of the mouth of the beast, and out of the mouth of the false prophet. For they are spirits of demons performing signs which go out to the kings of the earth and of the whole world to gather them to the battle of that great day of God Almighty. Behold! Look here! Watch this! I'm coming as a thief. Blessed is he who watches and keeps his garments, lest he walk naked and they see his shame. So the sixth bowl judgment, the wrath of God that's being poured out, has to do with the river Euphrates, and it dries up. Now, the Euphrates River is 1,800 miles long, 3,600 feet wide, and 30 feet deep. It's a natural border between the Middle East and the Far East. The great body of water will be dried up for one purpose: to make the way for the great armies of the East to come in for the battle of Armageddon. Now, I want to go to Zechariah 14, but maybe you ought to wait just a minute. Let me just say a few other things. The Satanic Trinity and Satan's fallen angels will draw the nations together for this final battle. And the reason that the Euphrates River is being dried up is so the armies of India and China and Japan and Pakistan and Indonesia can all come in from the east. And then the Antichrist armies will be coming in from the west on Jerusalem. And the armies of Russia will come down from the north. And the armies of Egypt and the southern nations will come up. And so Satan wants to be worshipped. And so he's bringing things to a head. Now, this battle is going to take place where? Look at verse 16. And they gathered them together into the place called in Hebrew Armageddon. Now, this is the most natural battlefield in all the world. It's 14 miles wide and 20 miles long. Hundreds of battles have been fought in the Valley of Megiddo, in the Valley of Jezreel. Y'all seen the picture of us standing up, you know, with our fingers up in the air, we win? Well, in behind us is the Valley of Megiddo. So when you see those Israel pictures pop up, take a look at them. That's where this battle, Armageddon, is going to be fought. And the Euphrates River is going to be dried up so that these armies from the east will come in. I've already said that. The armies of the north and the west and the south, they're coming too. And they're all going to be led into this valley. And so the sixth bowl judgment prepares the way for the last world war, Armageddon. And everybody thinks that Antichrist and the dragon, Satan, and the false prophet are in charge. Guess who's in charge? Now turn to Zechariah 14. God is the one who dries up the Euphrates River. Y'all have given up on me, hadn't you? Zechariah 14. Or have y'all all got phones and laptops and all that stuff? Okay. I just don't hear the pages. Zechariah 14. I want you to see this. Oh, there's that word again. This is the word for the evening. What's that word there in Zechariah 14, verse 1? Behold, look at here. Watch this. Pay attention. Behold, the day of the Lord is coming, and your spoil will be divided in your midst. For I will gather all the nations to battle against Jerusalem. The city shall be taken, the houses rifled, and the women ravished. Half the city shall go into captivity, but the remnant of the people shall not be cut off from the city. And so who is it that's drawing the nations of the world to Jerusalem and eventually down into the valley of Jezreel? God is. God's the one behind everything. He's the one in control. And He's bringing things to a head here for the last great battle, Armageddon. We're going to talk about that in a couple of Sunday nights. You don't want to miss that. Let's look at the last, well, we're doing pretty good. The seventh bowl judgment. Verse 17. Then the seventh angel poured out his bowl into the air, and a loud voice came out of the temple of heaven from the throne saying, "It is done." Woo! And there was noises. There were noises and thunderings and lightnings. And there was a great earthquake, such as a mighty and great earthquake as had not occurred since men were on the earth. Wow. Now the great city was divided into three parts, and the cities of the nation fell, and great Babylon was remembered before God to give her the cup of the wine of the fierceness of His wrath. Then every island fled away, and the mountains were not found, and great hail from heaven fell upon men, each hailstone about the weight of a talent. Men blasphemed God because of the plague of the hail, since that plague was exceedingly great. By the way, the Euphrates River flows right by modern-day Iraq. And that's where Babylon is. You remember what we talked about several weeks ago? Who was a type of Antichrist way back in Genesis? He established a city. That's right, Nimrod. And there have been, ever since the days of Nimrod, demonic spirits and demonic angels hovering and ministering, doing their deeds of doom in Babylon. And so the last bowl judgment will finally bring an end to Babylon, the anti-God system of Satan and humanity. The last angel pours out this bowl of wrath, and a voice from the heavenly temple shouts, "Hey, it's done!" And the result is a devastating earthquake that affects the cities of the entire world. And John takes special notice that Babylon has been destroyed. The economic, political, religious system of the beast, which resides in Babylon, and this world is completely destroyed by the Lord. And then an unprecedented thunderstorm and hailstorm follows this earthquake. The thunder will rock and the lightning will roll, hailstones at 100 pounds apiece. State Farm's going to have trouble, or whatever insurance companies are around. And so the chapter, and amazingly, no one repents. Isn't that amazing? It just goes to show you how wicked the heart of man is. Anybody know what Jeremiah 17:9 says? The heart of man is deceitful and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Well, I'll tell you who knows it. God knows it. And that's what you see going on here. And so this chapter ends with people drinking from the cup of wrath. And what hit me when I was studying this again, why would anybody want to drink from that cup? In the Garden of Gethsemane, the Bible says that Jesus drank that bitter cup of sin for us and then carried those sins to Calvary and paid the price for all of our sin. He drank that cup for us. Why would anybody want to have to drink that cup of God's wrath for their sin when Jesus has already taken care of it? Took the punishment for our sin. Shed His sinless, perfect, spotless, innocent blood so that we might be set free. Whew. You know what Psalm 116:13 says? Let me just go get that one for you. I don't believe I can quote it, so let me go get it for you. Psalm 116 and verse 13. I've told y'all before, I'm a whosoever guy. Psalm 116 and verse 13. I will take up the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. Anybody that wants to can pick up the cup of salvation and drink it tonight. Anybody that wants to, whosoever will, may come. That's the invitation in the entire Bible. Anybody can come to Him. And there will be millions of people come to faith in Christ Jesus during this great tribulation period, but most of them will become martyred for their faith. A few of these Jews and a few Gentiles will head down to the rock-walled city of Petra and hide out down there, and they will enter into the thousand-year reign. We'll talk more about that later. But oh my goodness, why would you want to... Why today is the day of salvation? How many of you know someone who's lost? Man, we need to give them this message tonight. We need to bring... If you don't drink from the cup of salvation, you're going to drink from the cup of God's wrath for all of eternity. Let's go back for just a minute to verse 14. Excuse me, chapter 14, verse 13. Then I heard a voice from heaven saying to me, write, blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from now on. There's two ways to die, only two. You either die in the Lord or you die in your sin. You die in the Lord or you die in your sin. And if you die in your sin, you're going to pay for your sin for all of eternity. The wrath of God is going to be poured out on you for all of eternity. Jesus paid it all. It just makes good sense to come to Christ, right? In Revelation 16, verse 15, it says, behold, I'm coming as a thief. Back a few years ago, and I may have told you all this, that's a sign that you're getting older, you tell the same thing to the same people over and over again. But Diane and I had pulled up with the girls over at 102 Bellamy Court, and we'd been to Sunday night church. My girls were little then, and I noticed the front door had been open. And we always locked our door over there. And so I told them to stay in the car. And I got up and went in. And sure enough, a thief had broken in the back window of our house and stolen some things. Three of my granddad's golden pocket watches and some other things. I think it was some kids probably in the neighborhood. But a thief, when we left the house to go to church that night, babe, we weren't looking to get robbed, were we? But that thief came. And Jesus is coming that quickly when you least expect Him. And we're coming with Him. This is the return of Christ to the earth. And so what does that say to us tonight? It pays for us to stay close and clean and be ready. Be ready. I wonder if everybody here is ready tonight. Are you ready? I'm going to tell you something. You're not ready if you've got unconfessed, unrepented sin in your life. The word forsake means to turn away from, to get rid of it. Maybe you're here tonight and you need to reprioritize. And you need to put God first again in your life. And maybe there's someone here that needs to drink from the cup of salvation tonight. Let me tell you, if you'll drink from that cup, it'll never run dry. You'll never thirst again. That's what Jesus said. How do I get saved? You remember what the thief on the cross said? Remember me. God looked at his heart and he confessed with his mouth. And Jesus said, today, you'll be with me in paradise. We make salvation so hard and so complicated But it's basically repenting, turning from our sin, and receiving what Christ did for us on the cross 2,000 years ago. Surrendering to Him, calling on His name. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Maybe there's somebody here tonight that needs to call and drink that cup. Father, I don't know what you want to do with this poor message I've preached tonight. But I pray, Lord, that you would not let my inferiority or insecurity or any of that hold back what you want to do here. And God, I believe there's always someone in every worship service that needs to drink from the cup of salvation. There may be somebody here who's a church member, got their name on a church roll somewhere, maybe even baptized, but their life has never changed, never been arrested by the Lord Jesus. Their heart is still the same tonight as it was when they claimed to have met Him. Oh God, you do the saving this evening. And Lord, there are probably some of us here tonight and we need revival, desperately need revival. If you were to come for the church tonight, we're not ready. And we're going to lose out on some things at the judgment seat of Christ. Not going to be judged for our sin, we understand that, but our works will be judged. And Lord, I want to enter heaven with a smile on my face. I don't want to have to sneak in the back door. And so God, you do the work that you need to do right now in our hearts. Just ask God if there's anything you need to turn from tonight. Just ask Him. He'll tell you. Unbelief, unforgiveness, prayerlessness, immorality. Is there anything that God's speaking to you about? Confess it to the Lord right where you sit. Thank Him for His shed blood and His atoning sacrifice. And receive that cleansing tonight. And ask for revival. Put Him on the throne of your heart again. Crown Him as King of Kings and Lord of Lords in your heart of hearts. Is there anyone here tonight that prayed to receive Christ in your chair? Nobody's looking around. This is only the first. You only need to do this one time. If you really mean business with God, God will save you. And maybe somebody did here tonight. If you did that tonight, like the lady a few Sunday nights ago, would you just look right up here at me? If you prayed to receive Christ tonight, if you drank from the cup of salvation, would you just look up right here at me? Anybody? Anybody? Anyone? Just look right up here at me. Father, thank you for speaking to our hearts tonight. We ask you to speak to your servants when we began. We believe, God, that you did. And Lord, this week, now that you have received a fresh crowning in our heart of hearts, and we have this spirit of revival, we're leaving here with it tonight. God, help us to go out into the highways and hedges and compel them to come in, that your house may be full. Oh God, thank you for the testimony of my sister this morning who said, I did what you asked us to do Wednesday night. I brought 3 people with me to church. Oh God, thank you that we have the opportunity. It's the greatest time in human history, I believe, to preach the good news, to just share the gospel of Christ with people. And Lord, would you, as we go to Summit Heights Friday evening and Saturday evening, God, we unload that block party trailer. We open up our Bibles. We begin to share Christ with those children and those parents that will be there. Oh God, may the anointing of the Spirit fall fresh on Summit Heights. Friday night and Saturday night. God, use our workers. Use the servants. Lord, use that popcorn machine. Use that snow cone machine. Use those inflatables. Oh God, do a great work so that others can drink from the cup of salvation. We love you, Lord. Thank you for Jesus. It's in His name we pray. Amen.
This is Pastor Cal again. I hope you enjoyed the message. If you'd like to talk to me or another pastor about some issue that you may have, a question you might have, you're free to call 931-332-6288.